It's Tuesday, the 3rd of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Ty Lawson and Tyler Hansborough. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and DS Chuckster, who left a great review on iTunes. So big shout out to the guys at Moneyball and to DS Chuckster for their great support of the podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall. And for today's podcast, for the first time in the regular season, I am joined by the one and only Matt Smith. Matt, how are you going?
Very well, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you on for the first time in this regular season. How have you enjoyed the start of the NBA season?
Yeah, loving it. It's great to have basketball back. And Steph Curry went off again. Just a normal line from him in that third quarter. A few guys who sort of in the 80 to 100 range: Terrence Jones, Myers Leonard, Gorgui Dieng struggling big time. Plenty of talk around about their form and what to do with them. So. A few of those guys play today, we'll discuss, but all in all, great to have basketball back and pretty good first week into week two already.
Yeah, it was a pretty good start to the season. Some massive lines already. We already had 50-point performances, triple doubles. There's been huge numbers going out already. And just a reminder to everybody, if you do want to sponsor the podcast, much like DS Chuckster, or if you work for a company that wants to sponsor the podcast, please let me know as well. To be a sponsor, a one-day sponsor like DS Chuckster, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you will get the chance to have a shout-out at the start of the show and become a sponsor for the day. And I also want to give a shout-out, Matt, to one of the podcast's great supporters, Super Buck Wild, who entered a $2 tournament on FanDuel today and took home a cool $1,400. So big shout-out to Super Buck Wild. He was getting a little antsy during the last game. He had his Festus Ezeli going up against guys like Markieff Morris. In those last couple of games, but Festus got him over the line, so a big shout out for a big payday for Super Buck Wild. You've been going on to Moneyball a bit, Matt?
Yeah, played again on Moneyball today and got my money back, or doubled my money, which was nice, but had a few days off over the weekend, so looking forward to playing over the next couple of days and hoping to cash in a bit, like not only your good self, but seems like all the listeners are winning money lately.
Yeah, well, I had a huge day today, actually, at Moneyball. In their big tournament, I came second, missed out by 4 points on the overall top prize. Overall, not a bad little day for me, and a lot of the listeners are winning some pretty decent money, so that's awesome. I'm glad that we're all getting in there and participating in Moneyball and Daily Fantasy, and all the guys overseas. I'm getting a lot of listeners who are winning big money on DraftKings and FanDuel as well, so it's awesome that's happening at the moment, and hopefully it continues for the rest of the season. We're only a week in, and there's already been some pretty decent paydays to quite a few of the listeners. Now, Matt, I did neglect to ask everybody, for me to ask you to tell everyone where they find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at SmanSports, and unfortunately, I don't have my little fancy graphic when I speak, so I forgot to click that button earlier on, but we'll set that up for next time. But yeah, at SmanSports on Twitter.
Yes, so and Matt also at allstar5.com. You can find Matt's great advice on that website, along with myself and Mark Roberts and Seth Klein and Joseph Mamone as well. Some great advice over on that side. Now, Matt, let's get straight into it and let's talk monstrous line of the night. I'll let you go first. You're the guest. Do the honors. Who is your monstrous line of the night?
Yeah, a couple of big lines, Damian Lillard and also LeBron James, but I'm going to give it to James Harden with a bounce-back performance. He had 37 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 3 steals, 4 three-pointers, 9 from 11 from the free throw line. So a nice all-round performance, and 12 from 26 from the field as well, so 46%, which was a lot better than his previous three games. So James Harden was my monstrous line of the night.
It was good for James Harden owners to get that happening, because it definitely had been a while. It feels like a while at the start of the season, but he'd been putrid. The Rockets have been putrid, but he did get things back on track. So a big night from James Harden. The guy that I'm giving the monstrous line of the night to is a guy that you mentioned in that your little preamble there, and that's LeBron James, who was perilously close to a triple-double in just 33 minutes against the Sixers, in which was a very, very entertaining game, with the Sixers had this crazy run at the start, at the end of the first quarter, that was 17-2 run. They're a lot of fun to watch, the Sixers, at times. At times they can be brutal, but to start this game, they were really fun. But back to LeBron, he eased himself into a 22-9-11 line with four steals and two blocks. And for LeBron hitting all four of his free throws, that's a pretty decent night for him, and not a bad night in terms of his field goal percentage as well. So LeBron, we hear talk of him regressing, starting to be on the downside of his career, which is probably true, but 22-9-11 is definitely nothing to sneeze at. So a big night from LeBron, but there were plenty of other guys around who were worthy of this consideration. Steph Curry, of course, and Damian Lillard all had pretty big performances that have to be mentioned. Now, what about the waiver wire line of the night, Matt? Who did you give that one to?
Yeah, same game with LeBron James. TJ McConnell from Philly. Now, he had 6 points, seven rebounds, but the 12 assists, a massive boost in the assist numbers to get him over the line. Also had a steal, and he did this in just 23 minutes. So kind of came out of the blue. I haven't even checked his ownership because it's probably very close to zero.
It's pretty low.
But TJ McConnell, yeah, that was a really nice line right out of nowhere.
I think it's a good time to talk TJ McConnell now, because you know, after that line, I was going to say I had millions of tweets, but I didn't have that many people. But I had a lot of people tweeting at me saying, what do we do with TJ McConnell? Where do we own him? Do we drop Cannon for Connell? Is he going to be the starter? Is he going to have value? My thoughts on it is he's not going to score. We see that. He's not going to score. He's a pretty aggressive rebounding guard, and he's a great assist guy. But the thing that I like about what's happening with TJ McConnell is Brett Brown is talking him up significantly. He is saying, you know, okay, we've got other guys here like Cannon, but we can't keep him off the court with the way that he's playing. He loves the way that he's able to produce. And the way that I see it now is that with Covington back and with Stauskas back, they don't need Cannon as a shooter as much. Before, when they were playing Jeremy Grant and Hollis Thompson and whatever other crap they were running out on the wings, they needed Cannon's ability to shoot and space the floor. Stauskas and Covington have got that covered. So McConnell can actually, you know, feed these guys on dish outs, you know, posted into Okafor and Noel. And I think he starts to fit a little bit better. And I think we'll see his minutes rise. For a standard league, Matt, is he a guy that you're just watching for now? Are you making a preemptive ad? What do you see?
Yeah, 10 and 12 team leagues, for me, it's still a little bit tough to own him for a number of reasons. I'll talk about schedule later on, but that's a key factor. I do agree with you that the Philly need his distribution role that they brought in Kendall Marshall for. Now, Tony Roten and Kendall Marshall are still out injured. We don't have a specific timetable on those guys yet, but it's probably at least another few weeks. So I agree with you. He's not going to score. If you need a big boost in the assist numbers, then yeah, go ahead and add him. But I don't see it being a long-term move. I think it's probably maybe a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks at the very most in terms of value that you'll get out of him.
He's a good sort of stream option if there's a day when you just desperately need assists, because that's what he's going to give you. But yeah, I'm not looking at adding him in 12 team leagues. It's not going to be prolonged value, I don't think, as you mentioned, with Roten and Marshall on the way back. And Cannon's still having some sort of value, although he's been pretty terrible lately. There's short-term value for him, but it's not enough value for me to recommend him in those sort of shallower formats. If you're in a 14 or 16 team league, then yeah, absolutely. Myself and Mark Roberts own a dynasty team. We picked up TJ McConnell today at the expense of Mark Roberts' boyfriend, John Jenkins, in a 16-team dynasty league. So we added him there. And that's definitely the spot that you need to make sure that he's owned in those sort of 16-team leagues. I checked up TJ McConnell's ownership. He's at 1%. The guy that I gave the waiver wire line of the night to is also at 1%, and that is Jared Bayless, who played 47 minutes of the game. He played all but 1 minute and 20 seconds. 26 points, including 6 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a pretty decent field goal percentage of 53%. Only went 4 of 7 from the free throw line, so that's not that ideal. But the big minutes are because OJ Mayo didn't play. Obviously, Jabari Parker's not back. We'll talk about that in a sec. But Michael Carter-Williams played just 23 minutes due to foul trouble. So Bayless got extended run. Now, Bayless played big minutes in the Bucks last game, nowhere near this level. And he's not going to be a guy who gets this hot and drills six threes. That's a career high for him in terms of his three-pointers. he's not going to be this guy. Look, he might hover around 24 minutes, 25 minutes while Mayo is out. They still don't trust Rashad Vaughn. If Carter Williams has to miss any time with his ankle problem, which it doesn't appear like he will. But I don't think we're looking to add Bayless in many sort of places unless you're in that sort of TJ McConnell deep league range. How do you see that, Matt?
Yeah, I agree. We've got Vasquez there, OJ Mayo, as you mentioned, Rashad Vaughn. So Jabari Parker looks like he'll play in the next game, whether he comes off the bench or straight into that starting lineup. So Jason Kidd's got a fair bit to work with there, and Bayless was the second guy I had there for waiver wire line of the night. But I think this is just one, yeah, completely out of the box. And if we see it again and again and again, then we'll consider him. But just watch this space for now with Jared Bayless.
Hopefully you use him in DFS because he was significant value. He was under 4,000 at that in that game, and there was always the chance that he was going to get pretty decent run. I didn't predict he'd get 47 minutes worth of run, but I thought he'd get a pretty decent night on the court at his price point. Now, the young gun of the night, Matt, I went with Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks, who was looking very impressive, had a fantastic putback dunk at one point of the game. He only played 24 minutes, but went 13 and 14. He hit a three. He had three steals. He had two blocks. Hit both of his free throws. Their 5 of 15 shooting is not great, and neither is the way he ended the game with Carmelo basically sitting on his head and straining his neck. He said the injury is not bad. He's been cleared from concussion. He's just got a bit of a sore neck. So if he misses any time, it'll be a game. They don't play again till Wednesday. So he might only miss one game. But what do you make of the way Kristaps Porzingis has started his career?
Yeah, I must admit I wasn't convinced coming into the season, just wasn't convinced around his role, his usage there with Melo, when we saw Kylo Quinn, Derek Williams getting some pretty decent numbers there in the preseason. But in limited minutes, so in 24 minutes so far this season, 12 and 8 with a block, couple of steals, half a three, you can't turn away those numbers.
No.
It's getting to the free throw line as well, 4.5 times a game at 83%. So
that's huge.
He's doing a lot. Sorry?
That's huge. Those free throw percentages and free throw volume is massive.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of things well. He's almost already like a poor man's Nikola Mirotic sort of player, if you like. So at this rate, yeah, you got to keep owning him. And he was my young gun of the night as well.
Yeah, you have to own him at this point in a 12-team league. There's no way around it. His per 36 numbers are out of control. They're at 18 and 12.5 with a 3, 2.7 steals and 1.5 blocks. Those numbers are out of control good. Now, he's probably never going to play 36 minutes this season. He doesn't have to with the depth in that front court. But in 24 minutes, he's providing enough. And you think that at some point he'll get up to 25, 26, 27 minutes and be even better. I was massive on Porzingis in the offseason. You would have heard me talk about it plenty of times. He's been superb so far. The rebounding, I think, is what's a bit surprising. I didn't think he'd be getting 8 rebounds a game. But he is not afraid of anybody out there, and he looks like he's going to be... He's probably the most intriguing player in the league to me at the moment, just watching him go about it and seeing the way that... how good he's performing. It's refreshing to see. What about the dud of the night, Matt? Who was your worst performer of the day? And no, you can't say the entire Grizzlies team.
Yeah, well, they were pretty bad, but this other guy was even worse, and he's had a terrible start to the season. I've used him in DFS a couple of times, which hasn't been the smartest move. I own him in a number of season-long leagues. That's Danny Green from the Spurs. I'm just bringing up his stats for today. Sorry, I wasn't organized then. I was too busy looking at Porzingis. He had 4.5 rebounds and a block. Just not doing enough. Still getting the minutes there, around 28 minutes a game, but looks like the offense is running completely through Kawhi Leonard, and then it's Duncan, and then it's Aldridge, and yeah, Danny Green is sort of struggling to find his role and find his rhythm at the moment. So do not drop Danny Green.
No.
We're getting tweets and stuff about Danny Green. Do not drop Danny Green. Hold on, he'll be fine. But yeah, you just need to ride this one out.
Okay, so there's people dropping him, and don't drop him. But he's the number one guy. Do not drop on the list. I've heard the other people saying, you know, they're dropping Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis has been terrible, but don't drop Monte Ellis. Yeah, you've got worse players in your team than Monte Ellis, unless you're in a 6-team league. And same with Danny Green. People are talking about dropping Trevor Ariza. Don't drop Trevor Ariza either. There are a couple of names that are coming to my mind. Danny Green was poor. He has been poor. But even in the last game when he was poor, he still had, you know, blocks and steals. And he still did those little things. And 5 rebounds out of a shooting guard and a block. It's not sexy, but it's not horrific. Like, it's not terrible. Like, yes, he didn't hit any threes. And yes, he didn't score. but he added 5 rebounds and he got a block shot. And you know, part of the reason why you drafted Danny Green is for above average rebounds and for shot blocking as a shooting guard. That's part of his appeal. And he did that there. So yes, he's been poor and the scoring looks terrible, but he still is contributing in those other areas, much like the way James Harden started off struggling, and he was struggling with his shot and his scoring, but he was still getting big rebounds, big scoring, good blocks, good steal numbers, and you think that that scoring is going to come at some point for Green. So that's why we're stressing, don't drop him. It's been rough so far, but you're a week in. Let's not worry about it too much. My dud of the night goes to J.R. Smith. Yes, he was injured. Yes, he played 4 minutes. But you know what? That's a game off your game limit. That's a guy that you use and you could have used someone else. He put up no stats. He's been putrid in the games when he's played anyway. What's your take on J.R. Smith at the moment? Assuming he's right to go from the knee, which we think he will, just a bone bruise at the moment. Is he a guy that is must own for 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues? What do you make of it? Because he's had the opportunity, but he hasn't started off well.
Yeah, I'm pretty invested in J.R. Smith. He's one of these guys I love in head-to-head leagues that can just blow up with points and threes. I've been pumping up Gerald Green on Twitter as well, and I know he's had a couple of poor games, but I do love those guys in head-to-head leagues. I think I heard or saw that JR's having an MRI just in case, but
yep.
10-team leagues, look, if there's someone on the waiver wire screaming at me and JR Smith, the last guy on your roster, your weakest guy on your roster, then it's fine. 12-team leagues, I'd still like to hold him, I am personally. And 14-team leagues, yeah, he's definitely worth owning still.
Yeah, I agree with all that there, mate. I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Now, before we get into these game reviews, just a couple of injuries I want to touch on. I talk about Kristaps Porzingis and his neck. He is likely going to be okay. MCW, there was fears that maybe he had an Achilles problem. It was a non-contact, non-sort of ankle-twisting ankle injury, and he was with people thinking, well, maybe that's an Achilles issue. He says, no, he just slipped on water. So there's hopefully no issue with Michael Carter-Williams unless something else comes out. Thabo Sefolosha is going to be sitting, it looks like he's going to be sitting games on a regular basis here with his ankle rehab. We're not relying too much on Thabo, but what it does is it puts more of a focus on Kent Bazemore, I think, for the Hawks. We'll talk about that when we talk Hawks later on. And Boogie Cousins is out the next two games with Achilles soreness, which is a pretty good result when you hear the word Achilles and Boogie Cousins. I think it's a good result that we only have to miss two games, but obviously you're not starting him in a weekly league format. Now, Matt, let's get into these games. I'm just going to bring up the box scores on the screen. People seem to be enjoying the fact that you can watch along and have a look at the box scores as we talk. So let's put them up on the screen now. And there we go, Matt. The first game is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll let you handle the Cleveland side of things and run through what you saw in that game.
Yeah, you've already spoken about LeBron James and his near triple-double. Mo Williams was very good again with his 21 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists and a steal, 8 from 10 from the field, a couple of threes as well. Timothy Mozgov had the 6 points, 7 rebounds. Kevin Love, nearly double-double, 15 points, 8 rebounds, a couple of assists. No threes in this game, though. Matthew Dellavedova was the big winner of that J.R. Smith injury. He had 12 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds and a 3. So if JR does miss any time in the short term, then Dellavedova's a nice add in both season-long leagues and a spot start for DFS. Tristan Thompson, he's earning his $82 million with his 8 points, 9 rebounds and 3 blocks. And what else do we have? James Jones hit 4 threes, but there's nothing to see there.
Nothing to see. Dally's the interesting guy because that's 2 big games in a row from him. We don't think there's going to be any sort of season-long, you know, value from Dellavedova. It's short-term. So obviously, when Shumpert comes back, when Irving comes back, when if Smith is back fully healthy, you're not going to see Dellavedova logging 34 minutes. But it's 2 games in a row where he's had pretty big performances. And if you've got a streaming spot and next time the Cavs play, maybe you look at it. But I think he had 10 assists in the last game and 9 in this one. That is just so far off what he's done throughout his career that it's hard to imagine that's going to be something that continues. Have you added him anywhere?
No, I haven't. I'm in a 10-team league and 3 12-team leagues and then a 400-player deep league. So mine are either here or there. Yep. So there's no need to own Dellavedova in a 12-team league. Once again, I'll talk about streaming later on, but there's other guys that I'd want in front of him. And in a 400-player deep league, then I don't own him, and I'm barracking for guys like Charlie Villanueva, who nearly got me across the line in threes against you yesterday, Josh. Yes. Just missed by 1 3-pointer.
What did you end up beating me by? 5-3, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. You had Deron Williams and I had Charlie, and I couldn't get that other category off you. But it's actually fun being in a super deep league, and you got to root for these guys who are just, yeah, getting 5 or 10 minutes off the bench.
It's a pretty weird feeling in those sort of leagues with some of those guys that are sitting. Like I sometimes forget some of the guys that I've actually got on my team. I don't always forget, but I do forget some of the time some of the guys I've got there. But like I look at my team and go, geez, I've got Caron Butler. And I forgot that I forgot that I drafted him. And go, wow, he's sitting there. Do I add him? Because he's not doing a huge amount at the moment. But yeah, he's been an interesting guy. The Sixers, we talked about TJ McConnell. Nick, I was going to call him Nick Castillo. Nick Sauskas. Nick Stauskas at 29.
That's got a nice name for that.
Nick Sauskas played 29 minutes today. They said he wasn't going to have a minutes restriction, but he was going to have... play as much as he could. He played 29 minutes. That's a pretty good return. 15 points with 4 rebounds, 3 threes, an assist, a steal. Not a bad effort from Sauskas. What do we think of him? He's a guy that at the start of the season he was worth a flyer in a 12 team league. Is he still that sort of range? Do you go and pick him up now, or you, depending on who you're dropping, or is he a must add guy in any sort of situation?
Well, here's my take on Philly, because this brings into account TJ McConnell as well. Now, in terms of schedule, I know I talk about this a lot, but schedule is huge, and I'm always talking about schedule on Twitter as well. But the next 3 games this week, Philly play when there's 10 games, 10 games, and 9 games. So the likelihood of you needing Stauskas and or McConnell is very, very small, unless they're going to be in your best 9 or 10 or however many starters you play. It's highly likely they're not going to be making your roster. So in that instance, you're just wasting that ad, and you're not going to be using them for the next 3 games. Next week, they play on days where there's 7 games, 11 games, 11 games, and 7 games. So you may only use them on those days where there's 7 games. Looking at further a week ahead, so 3 weeks ahead, then they play on days where there's 6, 10, 11, and 7. So over Philly's next 11 games, you might actually only use these guys on 3 or 4 occasions, because it's unlikely that they're making your best starting roster. And then even once it comes to the weekend, if you need assist, then that's fine. Play TJ McConnell. But if you're 23 pointers ahead, you're not going to need Stauskas. So once again, these guys are just sitting on your bench and doing nothing. So you might as well be streaming someone else through. Atlanta and Memphis have got back-to-backs. Bring in Bazemore. Bring in Kufis with DeMarcus Cousins out. So use the schedule and plan ahead. When people go to add players, they sort by ownership. They sort by points, rebounds, threes, whatever it is. But the schedule is as important or more important than any of those stats. So make sure when you're picking these guys up, you're actually going to be using them not just in the short term, but maybe over that sort of 10 to 12 a day span as well.
Yeah, there's no point adding, I stress this in the articles I write on Basketball Monster as well, no point adding guys that are playing Wednesday, Friday, because you're not going to use them. They're just sitting on your bench. You'd rather get someone who's worse that plays Tuesday, Thursday, than guys that play Wednesday, Friday. And that was the Sixers last week, and they're going to be in that sort of situation a lot. Like, Stauskas probably has some decent long-term value, but I'm not rushing to go and pick him up. His teammate on the wing, Robert Covington, was back. He played 22 minutes. He's going to be eased in slowly over the next week to 2 weeks. Didn't look great. 1 of 9 shooting is not ideal. But if you drafted him, you knew you were going to get a bad field goal percentage. So it's not going to be 11%, but you know it was going to be bad. 4 points, but he still contributed 2 steals and a block. It's just good to have him back, considering we thought he'd be out 2 weeks. He's back within a week. Pretty good result for Bob Cub owners. And he was a guy that was dropped in plenty of leagues. He's a guy. Look, Stauskas, we're giving you reasons not to add him. Bob Cub has to be owned everywhere, or am I wrong?
No, correct. Outside of Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Robert Covington, they're must-owns. Okafor maybe borderline in roto legs because of his free throw, but at the moment he's hitting them. That can't keep up. But in terms of Cannon, Stauskas, Hollis Thompson, TJ McConnell, these are all guys who can probably just sit on the waiver wire now, unless you're desperately going to need them on those days when they play.
Now, I just had a question come through while we're recording this from Phil Doyle on Twitter at skills0609. I thought I'd bring this up, Matt, because it's about Jahlil Okafor. And he asked me a question here. What are your thoughts on Okafor versus Bazemore? I have Okafor, but he really only gives me points and good percentages. Bazemore seems more rounded. Phil, I will answer you back on Twitter, but that is pretty straightforward to me. You don't want to take Bazemore over Okafor. Okafor doesn't give you good percentages. He'll give you good field goal percentage. He won't give you good free throw percentage. So please don't think that he's going to continue doing that. Yes, he had 24 points, 3 rebounds, and nothing else. That is not going to be the norm for him. The rebounds will come up. He will get you the occasional block. But unless you're set up to, or you're sort of precariously, you're precariously good in free throws, then Okafor drags you down in that category. That's a problem. Otherwise, it's Okafor every day of the week, isn't it, Matt?
It is. Atlanta do have a nice schedule with 4 games in the next 5 days if you are looking short-term, but we've seen already in the first 4 games how inconsistent Bazemore can be. He went, you know, 0 points in the first game, and it was a bit of a laughing stock there on Twitter and people mocking him. And I know a couple of guys used him in DFS and he fell flat on his face, and then didn't do much against New York, and then he had 2 big games against Charlotte. So he is inconsistent. He is this guy who can come in and hit a couple of threes and get a couple of steals and put up some numbers, but he can go missing. So that's what you're going to get with him. And yeah, Jahlil Okafor is the easy long-term, or short-term, long-term, medium-term.
Yeah, he's got him covered everywhere. Bazemore's a bad shooter anyway. He's a bad free throw shooter as well. So he doesn't even have the advantage there. Nerlens Noel, 14-8 with 3 blocks and a steal, and he's top 10 fun guys to watch in the league. He had a great open court fast break layup attempt that I think bounced off his knee in the end and went out. It was pretty humorous. If you haven't seen it, it was not his best effort, but he's still top 10 fun guys to watch. He is just awesome. He looks like he's just getting better and better. And the fact that he didn't go number one in that draft is ridiculous when you look back on it. The fact that he went number 6 and Giannis Antetokounmpo went number 15 is going to turn out to be two of the biggest steals in recent draft history, I would say.
Don't remind me, because the Suns had pick 5.
You know, I like Alex Len, but yeah, Nerlens Noel is a little bit better than what Alex Len is, and so is Giannis. I'd have both of those guys pretty comfortably over Len, but Len is still a good player. Not much else to talk about here. Hollis Thompson, 12-6-4. You covered him off already. And Jeremy Grant, that's just a big fart. 23 minutes for him, 7 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal. And that was always going to be the case. And I'm very happy to see that Jakar Sampson was down to 4 minutes, because that's more than he should be getting. The next game, the San Antonio Spurs and the New York Knicks. Matt, the Spurs, what do we like here?
Yeah, I love what Kawhi Leonard's doing. I know I wasn't super high on him 12 and 18 months ago, but his start of the season's been incredible.
We're all about to change our mind, Matt.
Yeah, we will. 18 points, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks, and a 3, 50% from the field. Once again, led the Spurs in field goal attempts, so the offense is just running completely through him. Tim Duncan had a double-double with 16, 10, 6 assists, couple of blocks. LaMarcus Aldridge, 19 points, 6 rebounds. No steals or blocks and a slowish start, but I heard you talk about LaMarcus Aldridge the other night and saying that he's still trying to fit in there with the Spurs, so he'll take a little while to get going.
But this is who Aldridge is. Aldridge is a points and rebounds guy. That's who he is. He's not a big steals guy. He's not getting big assists. He's not hitting threes. He's not a big blocks guy. He's a points and rebounds guy. If he gets you 19 and 10, that's why I was never big in getting him inside the top 20, because he doesn't give you enough stats. So 19 and 6 is probably going to be closer to what he actually ends up giving you for the season than what we might be expecting him to give you, because I think sometimes his value gets inflated in a lot of areas. He's a good free throw shooter as well, so we'll add that in, but he's not a multi-categorical contributor.
And we've seen guys like who we'll talk about next with Greg Monroe. He's starting to block shots. Yep. The steal numbers are still staying relatively similar to where they were last season. Nikola Vucevic is picking it up on defense as well. So there's a few guys that are going past LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
Tony Parker had 16 points and 3 assists. Tony Parker can stay on the waiver wire. There's no need for him to be owned. His minutes have dropped. He doesn't steal. He doesn't hit a 3. His assists have dropped. So leave him alone. There was talk already that Manu Ginobili was going to be rested, and apparently he won an argument against Greg Popovich. So I don't know how that goes, but that's a pretty good effort to win an argument against Pop. He had 7 points and 3 assists. A few people got him in, streaming him through with their back-to-back, but he didn't do a lot. Paddy Mills played 25 minutes off the bench for 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals and a 3. So Paddy Mills is going to come into fantasy relevance and have some nice value, especially as the season goes on and Tony Parker's minutes are going to steadily decline. Manu Ginobili's going to pick up some rest. So if Paddy Mills is on your waiver wire, don't go rushing to add him, but he's definitely one that you'll probably want to own in a couple of months' time.
just a quick mention. I don't think there's anybody listening to this podcast who's in a 10 or 12 team league that owns David West, but if you do, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. And he's had 16 minutes in the last two games. He's just not going to get anywhere near enough playing time on this team unless multiple injuries occur. So David West is done as a fantasy option for this season. And good to see my boy Boban Marjanovic getting his first point in the NBA, and he's in my 400 deep dynasty league. Got him on my team. So Boban, big thanks. The Knicks, Robin Lopez, the early season struggles in terms of minutes are over. Another 30-plus game here, 10-5 with 4 assists and a steal. Mello, 19-7 with a 3, 2 assists and a steal. His shooting was horrific, only at 24%. But to finish at 19-7, when Kawhi Leonard, I don't know if you saw any of it, Matt, but Kawhi Leonard was guarding him like an animal. The two of the blocks that Leonard had on Mello were, like, that they're unfair. They were blocked like perimeter blocks, like they were facing up against each other. Mello had the ball, looking at Leonard, and Mello rises up to hit a three, and Leonard just gets up and blocks him. Like, it blocks that don't happen, and he did it twice. So Leonard shuts down everyone. He shut down Kevin Durant. He shut down Mello. He just makes it a misery. So Mello gets out of it with 19-7. That's horrible shooting percentage, but he actually ends up with, you know, some sort of value, because when Leonard's on you, forget about it. And that's something to really remember for DFS. When you've got a big name player or someone going up against Kawhi Leonard, just erase them. Just get them out of the lineup, because they're not going to return value, because Leonard is, he's incredible. If you haven't, go and watch the blocks that he put on Mello, and just think about how many times you've ever seen guys just block, just standing there, you know, just looking at each other and blocking the shot as it goes up. It doesn't happen. Good to see my boy Kevin Serafin get his first minutes for the Knicks as well. Nothing to really see there. And Sasa Vujicic's minutes coming down, which is something I love seeing. 20 minutes for him for 2 points. Langston Galloway, a quiet night, 6-5. He still has intrigue to me in some 12-team formats. Jose Calderon doesn't. 6 points and not a lot in his 23 minutes, while Jerry and Grant went 12-4-3. And you feel like it's only a matter of time before Grant really inherits his starting job and starts playing 30 minutes a night, because he has looked a lot better than Jose Calderon. And Jose Calderon's drop-off has been, it's been monumental. And it started last season, but he went from being a really serviceable, you know, knockdown three-point shooter who was really useful in Dallas to being completely crap. And he appears done at this point. And there is no chance that he ends his season as the starting point guard. Would you agree?
Definitely would agree. Are you rushing out to add your mate Aaron Aflalo?
Nope. Speaking of people who are crap, Aaron Aflalo is crap. Now, he is not good. You know what? This is what happens to people. He was okay a couple of years ago in Orlando, but he's a points guy and he's a threes guy. That's where his value comes from, right? That's where he doesn't do anything. He assists, steals, blocks, rebounds, nothing in those categories. But people last year go, oh, you know what? Yeah, he was injured in Portland, didn't fit the team. But you know what? He was useless in Denver before he got to Portland. Forget about the time he got to Portland when he wasn't useless. He was abysmal. But in Denver, yes, he was averaging 14 points, but he was about one rebound, one assist, 0.2 steal. He was giving you nothing apart from not even above average points. He was a guy that shouldn't have been owned in Denver on a team that was bad. He went to Portland, he was terrible. He's going to come to this team, and the Knicks are better than a lot of people think. They're not a bad team. They played the Spurs, you know, relatively close for most of this game. Yes, Aflalo is going to come in. Aflalo is not going to impact Jerry and Grant, I don't think. He's not going to impact Langston Galloway. He's hopefully going to impact Sasha Vujicic. I hope this is a situation where Vujicic is starting, and then when Aflalo comes back in and starts, Vujicic goes completely out of the rotation. But I don't think Aflalo is going to be a guy that you need to rush out. We don't know when he's coming back for a start. And even when he comes back, what's he going to give you? 120 value? 150 maybe? Are you in the other camp? Are you going out in there and mortgaging everything to get Aflalo?
No way. You and I have discussed this before. We got no time for Aflalo. I hope you're right. I hope it is Sasha who completely falls out of the rotation and doesn't impact Langston Galloway, because there's been a lot of talk around Jerry and Grant. He's been putting up some nice numbers, but Langston Galloway is the other one to watch there as well, getting those 25 to 28 sort of minutes off the bench. And talking about schedule again, the New York Knicks are one of these teams who do play on a lot of the lighter nights. So you can get guys like Galloway and Grant and Kyle Quinn and stream these guys through. They will have some value.
Vucic has no place in the NBA. He's been out of the league for 4 years for a reason. He comes back in and all of a sudden he's starting again. Derek Fisher, I hope that it's just one of those like Popovich style. Our starter's out. Let's not disrupt the second unit. Not that they'd established a second unit, but I hope that's the case, because if Flalo comes in and then Vucic goes pushed down to second string and that eliminates minutes from Galloway and Grant, then Fisher needs to go immediately. The next game, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Who's worse, the Nets or the Lakers? I put a poll out, and by the way, I love the poll function on Twitter now, where you can put two things up and vote for it. I had, I think it was 49-51. Who's the worst team, Lakers or Nets?
I voted for the Lakers.
It's pretty close. I think it's the Lakers just, but the Nets are terrible. They are so bad. I'll talk about them. You talk about the Bucks first, but I've got a bit to say on the Nets. What do you make of the Bucks? There's a lot interesting happening here.
My prediction of Byron Scott being the first coach fired is looking pretty good right now.
Lonnie Hollins is not a good coach anymore. This is my rant. He's not good. What are you doing? Why is Brook Lopez? Yes, he had five fouls, but you know what? The game was tight, and he sits him out until about the last 30 seconds. Like, come on. Like, what other crap are you running out that you don't have a good team? You've got Andrea Bargnani was playing over Brook Lopez, and because of foul, like, you don't have a good, you've got two good players on your team, if that, and then you sit one of them for basically the entire fourth quarter. Lonnie Hollins is not a good coach. He was not a good coach last year when he decided that Mason Plumlee and Jarrett Jack were better options for the team than what Darren Williams and Brook Lopez were. And then miraculously Lopez comes in and starts dropping 35 and 15 every night. Big shock there that he was better than Mason Plumlee. And Jarrett Jack he actually looks good on this team. That's how bad this team is. And people know my hatred of Jarrett Jack. On to the Bucks.
Feel better?
Yeah, I've got more, but I think I'll leave it for the moment.
More. Oh, geez. Greg Monro, he's been tearing it a new one. 23 points, 13 rebounds, a steal, a block, 10 from 14 from the field. His field goal percentage is through the roof right now. Speaking of ripping it a new one, giant Giannis Antetokounmpo, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, couple of blocks and a 3, 8 from 16 from the field. The breakout, Josh, it's real.
It is real. I doubted he'd get to... look. And I need to rephrase this because I've said it plenty of times. I loved Giannis. I loved Giannis from basically the first week of his rookie season. I thought this guy is going to be something. But to me, the hype always exceeded what his actual production was. And now it looks like the hype might actually be right for this season. So I didn't draft him anywhere because he was going early. And I thought, he's going to have to take a massive leap. And he has. He's taken a huge leap. That's 20 points in the first three games. He doesn't look unguardable, but he looks whatever the level below unguardable is. He can do pretty much whatever he wants in terms of driving. His shooting looks better. He's defensively active. He looks really good.
Do you see Jabari Parker eating into his value at all?
Parker, maybe, but not for the first month. The Parker's going to be back on Wednesday. He's going to be playing limited minutes for an extended period of time. I would say until December at least. He'll be playing limited. He's going to be sitting on back-to-backs. Jabari Parker has to cut into Johnny O'Brien's minutes, who I don't know why he continues to he played 17 minutes. He had 27 the game before. Parker cuts into his production. Maybe it affects Antetokounmpo, but Parker's got to get his legs back under him. He's hasn't even finished one full season in the NBA. He's coming off ACL surgery. Yeah, maybe next season Parker starts to take it away from Antetokounmpo, but I don't think it'll be much this year.
Chris Middleton had a nice line as well, 17 points, 5 rebounds, a steal, a block, a couple of threes. Michael Carter-Williams, as you mentioned with that ankle injury, had 6 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 2 rebounds. So put up some reasonable counting stats in 23 minutes. Grievous Vasquez had 8 assists off the bench. Johnny O'Brien, you mentioned, had 8 points. And Chris Copeland played 5 seconds.
Grievous Vasquez also went 0 from 8 from the field. Not the greatest shooting night from Grievous. Imagine he could shoot, then he'd be decent. But he's not a great option. He's a TJ McConnell level streamer for assists if you're in that sort of situation. Now they've got a couple of guys to come back: Mayo, Henson, and Parker. I don't know what to expect from Henson. The first game he played 10 minutes. We haven't seen him since. I don't think there's any point in holding onto him in 12 team leagues, especially with Parker coming back now. Henson's going to find it hard to get over 20 minutes a night, I would say.
Is that a question or comment?
There was a comment. I was just letting it breathe. On to the Nets. Thad Young had a pretty decent night. 13-6-5 with a block. Joe Johnson, not bad. And Joe Johnson is available in some leagues. In 12-team leagues, he's available on waiver wire. So don't... I know it's definitely not sexy to look at Joe Johnson, but 14-3-6 with two threes. it's okay. You can use that in 12-team leagues. He's going to have some bad nights, but this team is so talent-starved that he's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit because they just don't have good players. Lopez, 18-9 with 2 blocks. Bojan Bogdanovic had 14 points with a couple of threes and 2 steals. He played 25 minutes. Markel Brown continues to start. For what reason, I've got no idea. Played 26 minutes, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a block and a 3. At least he played decent minutes. Not like those bullshit starts where they start and play 10 minutes like he did in the game before. He has no relevance. And Shane Larkin got hot down the stretch with 10 points. And Jarrett Jack with a solid 15, 3 and 4. And he's a guy. There's some leagues where Jarrett Jack isn't owned in 12-team leagues. And as bad as Jarrett Jack is, you have to make sure he's owned, right?
Correct, Jarrett Jack, yes. Joe Johnson, I'm still iffy on. I don't like him. Got no time for him, but Jarrett Jack, definitely.
Look, Joe Johnson is so boring and he's so not a sexy upside pick, but that's productive. Like I'm going to look at his season stats. Let me just bring them up. Where are we? So what's he averaging for the season? Come on, internet. 9 points. 1 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, half a steal. Yeah, that's not great. I'll grant you that.
Better off streaming that spot.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the rationale behind streaming it. But he will have night. Look, he'll be better. He won't average 9 points for the season. You get 3.5 assists out of him from a shooting guard. I think that's pretty reasonable. You can use that. 4.5, 5 rebounds. These are okay numbers. They're numbers where he shouldn't be just left on the waiver wire all season. I think that's what I'm more trying to get at. Wayne Ellington went from starter to being basically not getting on the court. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's minutes are all over the place. 25, 1 game, 4 in this game. Not much to see with him. And same with Thomas Robinson and Andrea Bargnani. The next game, Matt, this was a weird game. The Portland Trailblazers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Some very, very strange officiating decisions towards the end of this game when it got quite close. The Blazers got a pretty decent, it's a good win. The Timberwolves are better than we anticipate. The Blazers are better than we anticipate as well. Why don't you go through what we saw from Portland?
Yeah, Damian Lillard had another big game. 34 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, 4 three-pointers, 14 from 25 from the field. So nice, sufficient night there from Lillard. CJ McCollum kept rolling. 18 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, and a couple of threes. Al-Farouq Aminu is the third option on offense. He had 17 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, a block, and a couple of threes. He's liking that three-pointer in the last few games. So make sure Al-Farouq Aminu is owned in all leagues.
He's clearly a top 100 player at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And then we get to this issue once again. Mason Plumlee, Myers Leonard, Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, all playing between 19 and 28 minutes. Absolute timeshare. Myers Leonard is the big concern. I know you tweeted out the other day that you still would hold him. How do you feel after another game?
Yeah, I'm still holding him. He's still got a block. He's still got 7 rebounds. The shot is going to fall. He's one of the best shooters in the league, especially for his position and his size. The shot will start to fall. So the fact that he's still getting block shots and still getting rebounds leaves me encouraged. Yes, you have to have some patience, and this is part of the reason when I talk about it a lot, Matt, that I lose so many of my first week or first 2 weeks matchups because I tend to have maybe excessive patience with a lot of guys. It's because I just know that this sort of like a trade went down in one of the listener leagues today. Klay Thompson for Bradley Beal. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's a nice sell high buy low there, right there.
it's now you love Bradley Beal. But even that, you have to be thinking that's probably a little bit out of Beal's league.
Yeah, still a bit of a stretch. Klay Thompson's still a solid top 20, 25 player. Bradley Beal is going to be a great player this season if he can stay healthy. Still got that concern. But yeah, long term, it's still Klay Thompson should finish the higher ranked player out of the two.
Yeah, and that's part of that. Yeah, I emailed the guy because I thought, okay, what's going on here? Okay, what's wrong? Not happy with Klay? No, not happy at all. All right, cool. You're not happy, you trade him. But it's a case of just being a little bit too. And this is the other thing I think, Matt. I think you mentioned it today as well on Twitter. People want to trade for the sake of trading. Do you find that? They just want to do it. They just want to trade. I just want to do a trade. Like, why? Because I just want to do it. Cool. Don't do it. Yeah. You don't need to do it.
Someone said they had an itchy trade or something.
An itchy trade finger. Yeah.
Maybe they can come and see you for some cream or something.
I've got plenty to treat that. But the people trade for the sake of trading, and that's where you can take advantage of some of these guys. But half the time, you don't need to trade. You don't need to make these trades that you're doing. And I would say that 75% of the times when you're itching to make a trade, you make a trade that's bad for you. The trades that come to you are generally the ones that you go, if a trade comes to you and you accept it, it's because it's ridiculously in your favor. So I reckon the majority of times that someone who's itching to do a trade goes out and proposes trades and then gets it executed, it's because it's a bad trade for them. And yeah, just calm yourselves down.
Back on Myers Leonard, I don't own him anywhere, which is probably a good thing at the moment, but I am concerned. I'm really concerned. I know the minutes are still there. Field goal attempts, 8 a game. I just don't see how he's going to get the shots with Lillard and CJ McCollum just throwing up 40 attempts between them. And this is kind of like a Jonas Valanciunas situation. I know he wasn't getting the big minutes there in Toronto, but he wasn't getting the ball either with Lowry and DeMar DeRozan just hogging the ball and taking all the shots. So they got to start finding Myers Leonard, otherwise he's just going to disappear. And like I said, Al-Farouq Aminu has taken that third offensive option. So I don't know. I'm really concerned about Myers Leonard and his usage and his value.
This is what I look at with Myers Leonard, is that at the start of the season, obviously I do the projections over at Basketball Monster, and we had him projected, right on that sort of 100 mark. And I had him projected at 8.5 field goal attempts per game. He's currently attempting 8 per game. So I just think, he's getting the shots that I sort of anticipated he would get. He's also shooting 20% worse than I thought he would. And he's not going to shoot at 28% per game. So, CJ and Dame are going to take 40 shots a game. That's fine. I had that factored in. I only had him at 8 attempts per game. But it was his efficiency, his ability to hit threes, his points, his rebounds, all of his percentages was why that I had him ranked around that 100 range. So I don't need him to go out there and get 12 shots or 13 shots for him to live up to where I had projected him at the start of the season. He's getting the same amount of shots. They're just not falling. If he hits that extra 20% of shots, he goes from averaging 6 points a game up to 10, 11, 12 points a game, 5 or 6 rebounds, almost a block a game, and he's almost right at that range where I sort of projected him. And then there's more upside built on that if somehow he starts to get more shots. So that's my rationale. Look, and if it keeps going and he keeps shooting this bad for a couple more weeks, I'm going to have no choice. But for now, I'm just thinking, the minutes are there, the shot attempts are there. They're the two main things that I'm looking for with him at the moment before I start panicking.
Still a complete timeshare with these four guys. It can't continue like this. They're not all going to have value. No. One of them needs to jump out and play 30 minutes a night for them to have significant value.
Yeah, and look, Noel Vonleh is the worst of the three. He's probably going to get the least minutes. He hasn't shown anything. Ed Davis is a really good rebounder and defender, and Ed Davis doesn't need big minutes. He can be relevant in 20 minutes, as we saw tonight, 11 boards, a steal and a block. That's what he'll do. But you're right. I would like Plumlee and Myers Leonard to get 30 minutes a night, which it is hampering them a little bit at the moment. Anything else you want to talk about with the Blazers?
CJ McCollum, how good's he been?
He definitely started the season off red hot. He's been pretty good. I'll give you that. I was definitely not as high on him as what you were, but he's been impressive. He's going to have bad games. He's going to have games where he shoots poorly, but he's still going to be able to accumulate scoring just from having so many shots. He's averaging over 20 points a game, almost 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, over a steal. He's putting up really, really good numbers. And at this point, I definitely undervalued him heading into the season. What about what about Ricky Rubio for the Timberwolves? 12-9-9 with 3 steals. I know you are not a massive fan of Ricky Rubio. I am a big fan of Ricky Rubio. I love the way he started this year.
He's had a couple of good games. I'll give him that, really good games. Just missed out on that triple-double today. But it was against Lillard and the Blazers. Yep. So you got to weigh that up. Like, Phoenix had a back-to-back against them over the weekend, and Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight went nuts. They tore them apart.
But he's averaging 17 and 10 with 5 rebounds, 1.5 steals, and 0.7 threes. He's currently ranked in 9 cat leagues 9th. That's it. That's how well Rubio is playing at the moment. And he's shooting 46% from the field, and that's probably not going to continue at that sort of level. But he looks awesome out there. The Timberwolves are one of the most exciting teams in the league to watch, with Towns, with Rubio, with Levine, who's not much of a basketball player, but he is exciting, with Wiggins. they are, you know, Bielitz is really exciting to watch as well. They're super fun to watch. And Rubio, he was a guy that I targeted pretty aggressively this year. People had him ranked 80s and 90s, and I was, no chance. I wanted him inside the top 50 in most sort of situations, or I ranked him inside the top 50. And he started off really well. Let's just hope that the shot doesn't completely fall off. But it looks, he was hitting like shots moving to his side, you know, mid-air fadeaways, and they were going in. And he didn't look, he looked confident doing it. He looked comfortable doing it. So, and they did bring in a new shooting coach in Minnesota. Maybe it's, you know, that little tweak that maybe makes him rise 5-6% in his shooting percentage. It's not unheard of for people to take that big of a jump. Maybe for a guy like Rubio, who's been, you know, playing for so long, it is. But it's he hasn't been in the league that long, though. I think we forget about that as well. He's been great to start the season. That's probably all I need to say about Ricky Rubio. Karl Anthony Towns, 11-5 with 4 blocks. So it was a little bit disappointing, but 4 blocks, you can't really complain about that. Now, let's talk Gorgui Dieng. He looked really good. He looked really good. But
he's back. He's alive.
He is alive. I tweeted out today, Gorgui Dieng is alive. 21 minutes, 12 points, 5 rebounds. The minutes are still a massive limiting factor, though. Nemanja Bjelica played 31 minutes off the bench. Bjelica was preferred to Kevin Garnett down the stretch as a defensive big man. He was the first sub off the bench ahead of Dieng. He's getting more minutes on a consistent basis than Dieng. I don't really understand it, considering Dieng was the team's leading scorer throughout the preseason and put up some big, big numbers. This is Dieng's first decent game. This is the million-dollar question in fantasy at the moment, Matt. Is Gorgui Dieng rosterable in a 10-team league?
I am going to say yes. I really like what Dieng can do. The only explanation that I can come up with for the low minute totals is he did have that big preseason. He did have the big off-season playing in the tournament. Well, it was at the Africa tournament, I think.
Afro Basket, yeah.
That's the one. Put up some massive lines over there and played some pretty big minutes. And I thought I read somewhere where he said that he was tired coming into the season. So maybe they're just easing him in, trying to get him a little bit fresh. But the value is still there. The upside's there, the high ceiling. So I know it's really hard to own Gorgui Dieng and Terrence Jones and Myers Leonard when they're all struggling and you drafted them all around the same position. But yeah, where possible, I would still be owning Dieng. If he's dropped in my leagues, I'm snapping him up straight away. I still think come the rest of the season, like, he could turn it on in the next week. But especially come the second half of the season when KG's now, like, why is KG and Tayshaun Prince
playing? Why is Tayshaun Prince playing at all?
37 minutes between them for 2 points. Like, that's ridiculous. Come on.
Tayshaun Prince, Ronnie Price, and Sasha Vujicic all need to go join their own team and go play together, because neither of them should be, or none of them should be playing any sort of minutes whatsoever. And they're just taking minutes away from other guys. Now, Bielitsa can play the three. He should be playing, and Shabazz Muhammad should be playing over Tayshaun Prince, giving more minutes to Dieng. Now, I said to someone today on Twitter who said, you know, what do I do with Dieng? Do I drop him? I said, let's see. If he has a real stinker here and he only plays 10 to 12 minutes or 15 minutes, then you can consider it in a 10-team league. But he didn't. He had 12 points and 5 rebounds in 21 minutes, and that's enough for me to hold on. And again, let's wait and see how the first couple of weeks round out, because you have to think that at some point he's going to have to start getting more of a role, and he doesn't need 30 minutes. If he gets 25 minutes, that's enough for standard leagues for him to have value, because he can score, and he showed some crazy offensive moves today in the post, which is something we haven't seen from him very often. Andrew Wiggins, Matt.
Yes.
16-6, 3 assists and 1 steal. Where would you think that Andrew Wiggins' 9 cat ranking is at the moment?
140.
237th.
Close.
Yeah, he hasn't been good. 14 points, no threes, 3.7 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 0.3 steals, 0.3 blocks, shooting 30% on 13 attempts. So that's a big part of his value. He's also turning it over 3 times a game. He was a guy that I was, much like Giannis, I was very much against the hype of them. Probably missed on Giannis at the moment with Wiggins. I didn't want him inside the top 100, and he's not even in the top 200 at the moment. He is really struggling. He will get better. He was dealing with a back problem. There's no doubt he's going to get better than this. But this is what I fear he's like as a fantasy player. He's just never going to be a top 30 or top 20 guy, in my opinion. I think he'll be a nice, solid... Yeah, I think he'll be DeMar DeRozan.
That's a good call, actually.
I think that's what he is. He's going to be a scorer. He's going to get to the line. He's going to do, yeah. DeRozan's a really spectacular athlete. He's not quite on Wiggins' level, but he's a spectacular athlete. I think Wiggins is DeMar DeRozan, a better DeMar DeRozan, but that's who I think he is. I don't think he's that top 10, top 20 player fantasy-wise that people think he's going to be. And look,
and we need to give props to Carl Anthony, who hit his first three-pointer today. It was Carl Anthony from Downtowns.
Saw that tweet, Matt, and purposely ignored it, and you've brought it to my podcast as well, so thank you for that, for dirtying it up with poor puns.
It was a highly underrated tweet, I'll give you that. It got no credit.
I did see it. I thought I was waiting for you to drop it on the show tonight. What's your thought on Bielitsa in 12 team leagues? Getting a lot of questions on him as well.
Yeah, don't mind it. I still think, like I said, Gorgui Dieng, I think he's going to get those extra minutes and take his stats. So he's a real short-term ad for me, maybe more of a streaming option. Just not convinced season-long, but we could be wrong. We're only four games into the season.
Yeah,
sample size is so small. You know, the rotations are still figuring themselves out. We've got new coaches. We've got players at new teams, new environments.
It took coaches 2 months to work out their rotations last year.
Let's just calm down a bit and let everything normalize. We've got Steph Curry shooting 60% from the field, Julius Okafor shooting free throws. Like, everything's just random right now.
It is. Kevin Martin played 35 minutes off the bench for 24 points and got to the line 11 times. So he's a guy that I would look to. He would have been dropped in a lot of situations. I think he can go back onto 12-team rosters. The next game, Matt, is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Why don't you talk about Russell Westbrook?
I love Russell Westbrook. He's awesome. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 7 turnovers. I don't really care. 2 steals, 3 threes, 10 from 16 from the field. His mum's the MVP. Kevin Durant had 29 points, 4 rebounds, couple of blocks, 4 threes, 9 from 19, 7 from 9 from the free throw line. Serge Ibaka, he's one of my favorite players, highly underrated in fantasy, I believe.
I believe
too. 12 and 14, 4 blocks, 6 from 14 from the field. I know that's poor for a power forward center, but a guy who's usually efficient and can hit your free throws, block 4 or 5 shots a night. I spent a second round draft pick on him and more than happy to do that. Steven Adams is still starting, 5-3 and a steal. Enes Kanter, your favorite pun nickname, Josh, 6 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. It's cooled off a little bit, but probably more to do with matchups. Deion Waiters, 9 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and a 3. And yeah, he thinks he's a little bit better than he is.
Yeah, and he's not good.
And DJ Augustine, if you've got him in an assist to turnover league, you would have been like minus today, 0 assists and 6 turnovers. That hurts.
Not a good night from DJ, but he's still always a guy that if he gets starters minutes, you want to make sure you're owning him across the board. Enes Kanter, one of the best offensive rebounders in the game as well. Probably up there with Andre Drummond. So if that counts as a category, Kanter has exceptional value. Just 12 rebounds here in 22 minutes. Onto the Rockets. Well, it appears that James Harden is actually still good. Shockingly, people thought that he was done for some reason. Again, stop overreacting to things. His shot wasn't falling, but he dropped 37 points here, 4 threes, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and his defensive numbers have been out of control this season. He is putting up, and all he needed was the scoring to really come back, and it did here, and he's going to be fine. Dwight Howard, 35 minutes for Dwight, which is a bit of a shock. I didn't think we'd think that Howard would play that many. 16-8, 2 steals and 4 blocks. That's basically sub-peak Dwight Howard numbers. They're pretty good. You're just going to have to deal with the DNPs. It's going to happen as he sort of eases himself back in. I don't imagine it will last all season, but when he plays, he's going to put up the numbers. We saw it here. Ty Lawson with his best game, 14-5, 11, 4 steals in 37 minutes. They still seem to be giving him way too many minutes for my liking. And Marcus Thornton, 37 minutes for Thornton. He didn't play the first two games. He's played 67 minutes in the next two. If someone can explain that to me, your power forward's out. Let's start a chucking shooting guard instead. 12-7 for Thornton for 2 threes. You're not adding Thornton anywhere, are you?
No, I'm not. Can someone please get Terrence Jones a pirate eye patch and just get him out on the court?
He can't open his eye, apparently.
It doesn't matter. Just play with one eye. Get a people go out there and play with masks, and Russell Westbrook had a full-on dent in his face. Just get him an eye patch and get out there and play, Terrence.
Yeah, he needs to get back out there. The big men replacing him didn't do a huge amount. Clint Capella played 11 minutes. Montrezl Harrell played 3 minutes for nothing. Capella, if Howard's playing, there's no point in Capella in any sort of standardized size leagues. Trevor Ariza, I mentioned him earlier. He can't be sitting on a waiver wire. Yes, 9 points is not good, but he hit a three, had a steal, had 4 rebounds. Not a good start to the season, but again, let's just calm down. The Memphis Grizzlies, now Memphis, Matt, they scored 69 points. They lost by 50. Can I cover the Grizzlies here? There's nothing to say about this performance from them. There is nothing to glean from looking at this, and I've already talked too long about them. On to the Warriors. Steph Curry, 33-3-3, 4 threes. He's great. Draymond almost triple-doubled. And Festus Ezeli with a big double-double, 11-10 and 3 blocks. Are you owning him short-term while Andrew Bogut's out, considering Bogut is out indefinitely? Which, again, doesn't mean anything, but we don't know when Bogut's coming back.
Probably not. Just for schedule reasons, next game is against the Clippers. That's on a 10-game day. Then they play Denver. There's 10 games on that day. And then they play Sacramento. There's 9 games on that day. So highly likely that I wouldn't use him. I'd prefer to get maybe Kostakoufos or Willie Cauley-Stein in the short term while Cousins is out, and then drop them and then get someone else in.
Fair enough. Again, we can't look too much at the Warriors here because they didn't need to play these guys. They were up. They won by 50. There was Ian Clark scored 15 points in 12 minutes, and that tells you all you need to know about this game. The last game of the night was a little closer. The Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. Matt, talk to us about your Phoenix Suns.
Marcus Morris needed 22 field goal attempts for 19 points, also had 8 rebounds, 2 assists and a couple of threes. Tyson Chandler with a big double-double, 14 and 17, 7 from 10 from the field. Unfortunately, no steals or blocks there, but he's been pretty good in his first week as a Phoenix Sun. So if you drafted Tyson Chandler, you'd be pretty happy so far, I would imagine. Eric Bledsoe stuffed the stat sheet again. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block and a 3. And Brandon Knight, he's had another good week as well. I spoke about the big games against the Blazers. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals and a 3. 4 from 20 from the field isn't ideal. And TJ Warren played less minutes than PJ Tucker, but out of the two, he's the guy you want to own. He had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal. It's really difficult to own him at the moment, but I just feel come the second half of the season when the Suns are out of the playoff race that TJ Warren will get that starting role, play 30, 32 minutes tonight. He does have some limitations in terms of his threes and steals and blocks and assists, but if you're after field goal percentage, rebounds and points, then TJ Warren could just be the man for you later on in the season.
Yeah, it's really hard to own him at the moment. At some point, he'll probably be a must-own, but at the moment, it is hard to own TJ Warren in most 10 or 12 team leagues just because the minutes are going to fluctuate, his form is going to fluctuate, so he's not a guy that is a must-hold on to by any stretch. And you'd be pretty happy as a Suns fan seeing Ronnie Price play 16 minutes as well.
Well, Ronnie Price and John Lua are getting the main minutes off the bench.
Why is Lua playing minutes over Mirza Teletovic and Alex Len?
I do not know.
At the start of the season, I thought Lua would be inactive most games. He was the fifth big man, in my opinion. But for some reason, he's getting a stack of minutes, and I don't really get it. We don't want anything to do with John Lua in fantasy, but it's quite frustrating that these guys are getting... It's frustrating to me that Ronnie Price is getting minutes and Archie Goodwin, and Devin Booker was out of this game with an ankle problem, but why is Price getting minutes over Archie Goodwin? They've got 2 point guards already in Bledsoe and Knight. They don't need Ronnie Price to go out there and play 16 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense. The Clippers, Blake Griffin, 22-10. His assault on stardom continues. DeAndre Jordan, a bit of a quiet night, but still 7 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks, hit all 3 of his field goals. That's serviceable. It's not a write off. Chris Paul, bit of an un-Chris Paul like night, 17-5 with 5 turnovers. Still, not horrible. And the rest of this team, Lance Stephenson, I've mentioned this yesterday, you're not owning Lance Stephenson anywhere in 12 team leagues. He just is not. He's just not good. Jamal Crawford struggles to have value in those formats. Same with Josh Smith. Same with Wes Johnson. Same with Paul Pierce. It's only Griffin, Jordan, Paul, and Redick who have any value in standard leagues. The rest of the guys, you can just pretty much forget about. Matt, that does it. We went really, really long on talking about today's games. We're going to have a short break as I play Bryce Whitney's band's song called Don't Go, and then we'll be back with a preview of tomorrow's games. I saw your picture today. Once again, big thanks to Bryce for letting us use his band's song for the interlude. Now, Matt, we're switching over to the next day's games, which is which day? Tuesday in the States. We're going to talk DFS now, and we can actually we can chime in with our own sort of lineups now, Matt, that we've got that ability with Moneyball to do that. Let's have a look at these games. The first game we'll look at is the Chicago Bulls and the Charlotte Hornets. The Bulls are favored by 3.5 points. It's a very low total, though, 193, which means it doesn't really scream daily fantasy value having a total that low, but it doesn't mean we need to be completely avoiding this game. On the Charlotte side of things, I think Jeremy Lin is pretty well priced at 4,800. Yes, he hasn't been great, but he's still averaging 20.5 points per game this year, and that's okay at that sub 5,000 price point. Nick Batum has been really, really good this season. He dropped 40 in the last game, 6,500 he's priced at. And what about Marvin Williams to start to the season? Is there any more sickening sight than seeing Marvin Williams play well?
No. I had to actually add him in one of our leagues the other
that's
day.
That's disgusting.
Quite difficult, but no, he's been good. I actually like this game from a DFS point of view, as you mentioned, with Batum,
Williams,
and then on the ball side, like Nikola Mirotic is going nuts, Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol could dominate there as well. So yeah, there's a few guys with some good value if that's what you're after. Obviously, we're all after good value. So that was a stupid comment, and I'll throw it back to you.
What do you think about Jimmy Butler at 8,000 though? Like, that price has gone up. He was at sort of the high seven, so he's jumped a couple of $100s. He's averaging 38 points so far this season. Is 8,000 making it a little bit harder to own him?
No, I don't think so. I think that's pretty spot on. Like, I was looking at a lineup earlier for Moneyball tomorrow and tossing up between him and Victor Oladipo. I think they're very close. Depot's probably got a better matchup there against the Pelicans. Sorry. But Jimmy Butler, you know, if he's going against Kemba or Jeremy Lin, depending on what they do with Batum, whether they, you know,
I think they put Batum on him.
So then that might free up Jimmy Butler as well. But
yeah, no, I think Batum goes on Butler.
Oh, sorry,
I think Zala has to go on him. Zala's a better defender than people realize.
On Mirotić.
Yeah. I think he can get out and guard the 3-point line. Well, it's not going to be Marvin Williams.
Put Nikola Mirotić in your lineup, then that's done. He's going to take Zeller to school.
Cody Zeller's a guy that I actually don't mind here at 3,900. That is a cheap price. He's averaged over 16 fantasy points per game this season, and you might say 16, that's nothing. But when you price it under $4,000, 16 points is actually okay. And if he goes and gets up 20 points, it's value. You're already ahead if he gets there, and he's been relatively consistent with what he's been able to do in limited minutes. And I'll say it again, the fact that Marvin Williams is getting minutes over Cody Zeller makes me sick, and I can't deal with it. Kemba Walker at 7,300, I think, is okay value as well. He's been relatively solid this year, averaging almost 35 a game. Hasn't really been able to stretch it too much past that, but he's been relatively consistent. And Derrick Rose at 7,300, his price has dropped, but that's because his play has dropped. Anyone else in that game that you think is worth talking about? Injury-wise, Cody Zeller, actually, the only thing with Cody Zeller is, and he's lost a little bit of weight from an illness, and they had to put him on an IV, so we need to watch his status for that.
What was wrong?
He was vomiting. He had some sort of gastric distress.
That's no good.
It was either that or an ingrown toenail. I can't really remember, but it was something that caused him to lose a lot of weight, so I'm guessing it was an illness. Yeah. The next game we look at, Matt, is the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 4. We've got a low total in this one as well, 196. The Atlanta Hawks, Thabo Sefolosha is out. Mike Muscala is considered questionable with an ankle. Now, he was active to play the last game, but he didn't get into the lineup. This doesn't really impact us from daily fantasy. But Kyle Korver is also considered probable on his ankle rehab schedule. All this does to me is make me think more Kent Bazemore. Now, his price is at $4,700 on FanDuel, but without Sefolosha there, and if Korver's out, I think you have to take the risk with Bazemore.
So, Bazemore or Marvin Williams?
What was Williams' price? I completely forgot. I think it was more than that, wasn't it?
On Moneyball, he's 4.5.
No, I think Williams. They're obviously different positions. I think Williams, though.
And I think that's a better... Well, the Bulls are running and gunning as well. Like Miami, slowish pace. I know you said that line was, 192 or something in that first game. That seems low to me.
Yeah, but the Bulls aren't scoring that much. If you look at their games, the totals aren't high. As much as they seem to be playing faster, the totals aren't high. They had like a game against the Pistons and went to overtime. I think they barely cracked 100. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why after, but they were red hot through the preseason. But if you go back and have a look, I'm pretty sure that their pace is not that high to start this season. I actually like in this game, Matt, Gerald Green, who's at 3,600. I think that's a tournament-only option, but he has the ability to go out and drop 20 points, and he hasn't really done it this season, but I think that there's an opportunity for him to do it here against the Hawks with Sefolosha out. That's one of those premier. He's a premier wing defender, Sefolosha. He gives you nothing else, but he's a great defender. So it opens up, especially in that second unit where Sefolosha normally would be playing, Green might have a little bit more space to work in that sort of situation. Otherwise, there's not many other guys here that I really think are significant value. Hassan Whiteside at 7,800. Yeah, he's probably a decent play. He popped up 50 in his last game, which is a really nice performance. He was massive. I think that he's a decent guy to have a look at. Tiago Splitter at 4,000. He's a tournament sort of play. And Al Horford and Paul Millsap have been really, really solid this year. At 7,900 for Millsap and 75 for Horford, the price is slowly going up. Even though it's only 200 or 300, it's making it a little bit harder to own them because you don't think that their performance is going to necessarily rise that little extra bit as well. So that makes me a little bit weary of them. Jeff Teague's dealing with a sore finger, but he'll likely play, but I don't want to spend 7,000 on him. And Dennis Schroeder has been a little bit disappointing of late, and he's at 4,500. So if I'm spending 4,500, I'm spending it on Marvin Williams, or I'm spending it on Kent Bazemore. I don't think I'm spending it on Dennis Schroeder. Anything else?
Yeah, great.
Anything else to you in this game?
If Dennis Schroeder starts, then that becomes a very tasty matchup for Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah. Wade will destroy him. Now, what's Wade priced at? He's priced at 7,200 here on FanDuel.
73 on Moneyball.
Yeah, Moneyball just updated their salaries as well. So they had the same salaries for the all last week, and they've just updated today. So if you're playing, make sure you have a look at those updated salaries. Wade is an okay play, I think, at that price. It's not a great value play, but he can definitely exceed that sort of position. Not much else to really talk about in that one, I don't think. Indiana versus Detroit. We've got the Pistons, who have been a surprise team of the season. They're undefeated. They're favored by 5.5 with a total of 201.5 points. Not much to talk about in terms of injuries here, but what we do want to talk about is the emergence of Miles Turner, who's slowly getting more and more minutes and more responsibility. He's still a minimum salary guy, Matt, so I think that you want to have a look at him at that minimum. If you're looking to fill a minimum salary and you're going to go heavy on some other big names who we're going to talk about soon, Miles Turner is gradually getting there, and he's averaging 16 points per game in 20 minutes. I think that we can see that going up to 17 or 18, 20, 21, that sort of range. And at that price, that's worth a look.
Yeah, sure is. 18 minutes and 23 minutes in his last two games. If he can stay away from Andre Drummond and then beat up Aaron Baines or Ersan Ilyasova or Mark or someone, it's a long shot, but it could pay off.
Andre Drummond has been fantastic. He was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He's priced at 8,900, and even that, I think that's still relatively okay value. He's just been eating up guys, rebounding, steals, points, blocks. Field goal percentage has been subpar, as is his free throw percentage, but you don't really care about that from a daily point of view. He has been much improved. He looks like he's on track for an all-star berth at the start, very early point of this season. I think he's a really decent guy to look at. A couple of other cheap options in Detroit, Ersan Ilyasova and Stanley Johnson are tournament options where you think that at their price, which is both sub 5,000, they can put up some okay numbers. Probably prefer Ilyasova because you think he's got more of a guaranteed role, even though his minutes have been limited the last couple of games. You think that he can go out there and put up a pretty decent performance against a Pacers team who is really, really struggling. What do you think of Paul George at 8,300?
I was just about to bring up his stats because didn't he have the two massive games in preseason against the Pistons?
That's a good question. I don't know that one. He did. He did definitely had one against them. He tore up the Pistons. Yeah, a huge game. We had like 20 points in the first quarter or something like that. Yeah. I think Matt's gone. Matt's dropped out. All right. I'll keep talking while we wait for Matt to return. Are you there, Matt? No. Okay. Yeah, so Paul George, he did have one of those big games against the Pistons early on in the preseason. But at 8,300, it's relatively expensive. Matt, are you back?
I am. Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
No, that's fine. Yeah, Matt is back. But yeah, I think you're right. He had that big first quarter against the Pistons where he scored 20 points in one of the games. So what do you think about it at 8,300? Is it worth the risk? He's averaging 33.87 points this year.
Based on those games and 20 points in the quarter, the Pistons just don't have anyone to guard him, whether it's Morris, Johnson, Ilyasova. The more I think about that now, I don't mind that play.
Yeah, look, it's expensive and you're going to need to surround him with some other cheap options. But yeah, the matchup-wise, it's not great in favor of Detroit for that sort of situation. Reggie Jackson at 8,200. If I'm spending 8,200, I'm probably taking Paul George rather than Reggie Jackson. Even though Reggie Jackson is averaging more fantasy points than Paul George this year, I think a lot of people would be surprised at that. But with the way that the format rolls out, he is putting up a better average than Paul George. George Hill has been really good this year, but it doesn't translate necessarily to daily fantasy production. So I'm probably avoiding him, given he is averaging just 24 points this season. The next game, the Orlando Magic and the New Orleans Pelicans. There's Omer Asik is questionable with his calf. Omer Asik's basketball ability is questionable at this point in his career, so I don't think we need to worry too much about him. Kendrick Perkins is out indefinitely, which is great. Hopefully, this means we see Alexey Ajinsa get some more minutes because he is a very good per-minute producer who doesn't seem to get much run. Hopefully, he's able to get a bit more of a role this game, but I don't think I'm going to be using him in DFS. A guy that I'm still going to be targeting is Eric Gordon, who's priced at 5,200. He's averaging 23 points, and that's enough for me, especially with he's going to get minutes, he's going to get looks. If the shot starts falling against Orlando, I think that he's going to put up some pretty nice numbers. And Nick Vucevic at 8,000, you touched on it earlier, 8 blocks in his last two games. That was something that we talked about in our predictions podcast, Matt. Is he going to average over a block a game? Well, we didn't think he was going to be averaging 4 blocks a game, which he's doing at the moment. He's putting up some crazy numbers, and let's hope it continues because I really like Nick Vucevic. Do you like him at that price?
Not convinced.
Would you like him at 8,000 or Anthony Davis at 10,700?
I'm going to go Anthony Davis. I'll pay the extra money to secure him. I just think he can have a really, really big, or he can have a big game anytime, but we're going to see him have a like really blow up for a big game sooner rather than later. So I'll spend the extra money on Davis. And there's another guy playing for Orlando. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, Evan Fournier. Oh, yeah. What do you think about him for tomorrow?
So shockingly enough, I'm a big fan of Evan Fournier. He's averaging 24.6 fantasy points this season. He's been getting minutes like they're going out of fashion, just out of control playing time. I think that daily fantasy really suits his playing style. At 4,500, it is quite hard to go past him at that point. Is he for real? I tend to think he is, but maybe I'm a little bit clouded in my judgment. What are you thought of what's happening with Fournier so far?
Well, if I go back to my schedule rant, the Magic actually have one of the worst schedules in terms of quality games in the whole league. They've got three games on quality days. So outside of Vucevic, Depot, Payton, and Tobias Harris, it's going to be fairly difficult to own Fournier, very, very difficult to own Aaron Gordon. So right now I'm staying away. I'm still to be convinced.
I'm hesitant as well.
With the Magic is their schedule.
Yeah, I'm hesitant with Fournier as well, but I think that he's not a bad risk in a DFS point of view. Toby Harris at 6,900, I don't really want much to do with. Victor Oladipo at 81. He's had some huge games. He's had some not so great games, but overall he's been putting up value at that sort of price. It's probably, look, that's $100 more than Jimmy Butler is. So I think I'm rather in Jimmy Butler at that price. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but he's been really good so far this season. What about Mario Hezonja? No point. We'll talk season long for a sec. There's no point in him in a 12-team league, is there?
There's no point having him in a 14-team league either.
Yeah, he's just not getting the minutes behind. He's got to battle Aaron Gordon and Victor Oladipo and Alfred Payton and Fournier, and he's losing that pretty comfortably. The next game up is the Toronto Raptors and the Dallas Mavericks. The Raptors are favored by 1.5 against the surprising Mavericks. Total of 204.5 points. Yeah, now this is the first game of a back-to-back for the Mavericks, so there is a risk of no Wes Matthews and no Chandler Parsons. We don't know if they will play. We know they're not going to play one of these games. We don't know which one it is. So that is that's something you're obviously going to have to watch. If they might stagger them, they might both sit. Ray Felton's a guy to watch. He's at 4,100. He's been getting minutes even when these guys do play. 4,100, that if you put him in at that price and those guys are out, that enables you to go big and get Paul George and get Anthony Davis and get those higher price sort of players. It's almost as dirty to say Ray Felton's name and value as it is to say Marvin Williams. What do you think of him at that price?
I would probably prefer to go with JJ Barea.
Yep, fair enough. That's fine. Now, JJ Barea is averaging basically the same amount as what Ray Felton is from a fantasy point of view. Felton is getting more minutes. He's averaging 29 and Barea's averaging 23. Now, if they gave Barea 30 minutes, absolutely, but it feels like they just don't want to give him the minutes even when these guys are out. So that's why I'm a little bit cautious there that he does need things to sort of go right for him, but he's a decent guy to look at. I think one of the big surprises for Dallas for me is Dwight Powell. He's putting up some pretty decent numbers. He's priced at 3,700. He's averaging almost 20 a game. He had 24 in the last game. Is he a guy that if you put a cheap option, much like I did with Hollis Thompson today, if you put Dwight Powell in, he gives you 20 points, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'd rather take someone like Kostas Koufos.
Yep.
Gamble on that start. I know it's a tough matchup against the Grizz, but out of the two, probably a little bit more security in Koufos than I have in, or security and confidence than I have in Powell.
And we've got Zaza Pachulia at 5,400, which is not a bad guy to look at. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,200 is reasonably priced. And DeMar DeRozan at 8,000, I don't want to deal with him. What about Kyle Lowry at 7,800?
Yeah, I really like that play. I think it's a better play than Reggie Jackson. As we mentioned, Dallas had a very shallow backcourt. And if he's up against JJ Barea or Raymond Felton or Jenkins or whoever they're running out there, I really like Kyle Lowry's play tomorrow.
Kyle Lowry's been really, really good. And it hasn't all just been scoring with him this year. He's been doing bits of everything, basically. The next game, Memphis and Sacramento. Memphis is going to want to bounce back pretty significantly after that disgusting performance that we saw from them. They are favored by 5 against the Kings. It's a standard, very low total game for the Grizzlies, 197.5 points. Kostas Koufos is going to get decent minutes, and at 3,800, he is one of the best price guys on the board, and I think that he should be owned in pretty much every cash and tournament lineup, because he's going to get minutes and he's going to get and he's priced at under 4,000. So he's a really good guy to look at. The other guys who get a bit of a bump, Omri Caspi gets a bump at 4. He's at 4,000. Marco Bellinelli at 3,800. These guys are all relatively valuable. Now, what do you think of Willie Cauley-Stein? He's at 5,200. It's 1,400 extra than Kostas Koufos. Which guy do you play?
Yeah, too much for me. Yeah, I'd rather take Kostas Koufos at the minimum salary. And then, as you mentioned earlier, then you can go and boost up to someone like Anthony Davis.
Are the other guys here, now Rudy Gay will probably, now we saw him put up some really big numbers when Cousins was out last year. He's priced at 7,900. That's not a bad guy to look at. The Grizzlies players, I'm leaving them all alone. They've been, you know, up and down this season. Haven't been able to rely on them at the salary that they're providing or they're provided to you. I don't think you want much to do with them at their prices. Is there anyone you can talk me into?
No.
Cool. The last game on the slate is the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of injury questions here. Kenneth Faried is probable with a sore back. Nikola Jokic is questionable with a sore back. Joffrey Lavernier is questionable with a sore back. So all of the Nuggets big men have got back problems at the moment. We need to see how all of that plays out before we really, you know, decide who we're going to play in that sort of front court. If one of them plays and two of them are out, then that guy gets a huge boost, whether it's LaVernier, Fareed, whether it's Jokic, we don't know. But Darrell Arthur is set to gain massively if all of these guys are out. And unfortunately, JJ Hickson. But Arthur's been the guy who's been getting the minutes as of late, played 24 in the last game. He's the guy, and he's 3,500. If all of those guys are out, he's going to have to play 30 minutes. I don't think they've got really any, or they don't have really any other option. But we need to wait and see how all these injuries play out for Denver. Julius Randle, 5,100 he's priced at. He had a great game, a terrible game, a great game. What do you think? Is he a cash game guy? Is he a tournament guy? Can he get close to what he did in the last outing?
With all those injuries, I think he can. I think it's a pretty good matchup.
I think it's a good matchup as well.
Yeah, I've got him in my lineup at the moment and just trying to juggle a few things, but I'd like to keep him in there and play. It's a fantasy friendly matchup in terms of the game and the pace. He's got a pretty decent matchup in terms of position with those injuries that you mentioned, and the Lakers just don't have anyone else. Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert's not a bad play at 5,300 as well, because, again, if all these guys are out, then he's going to be able to do something. He is averaging almost 25 points this season, and that's not bad. He could, if he gives you 30, then he's repaid his value at that price, and he could do that against basically no one. Emmanuel Mudiay is another guy to look at 5,400 as well. He wasn't great in the last game, but we've seen point guards tear the Lakers apart in a couple of games. We've seen point guards who can't shoot against the Lakers. Ricky Rubio and Rajon Rondo both hitting over 50% of their shots against the Lakers. Mudiay is another guy who can't shoot. This could be a big game for him, and I really like him at that price. For the Lakers, I'm avoiding most of these players. Lou Williams is not a bad guy to look at. Kobe's not a horrible guy to look at as well, because it's not like the Nuggets have got great defenders anywhere on their team. So Kobe's healthy. He is priced at 7,700, which might be a little bit expensive, but there aren't many great value high-priced shooting guards around at the moment. So, like, you know, Butler and Oladipo are a bit more expensive. Kobe is averaging 25 points per game this year, but he can get it over 30 against this Denver team. Not much else I really think to look at in this game. What do you think?
No, that's about it. I really like those early games. That's a tough late game to try to get some decent value out of. So those early four or five games are where it's at for me.
Yep, exactly. This last game, especially, we don't know what's going to happen with these Denver guys. If we hear word early in the day, then you can make your decisions. But otherwise, there's just too many question marks with these guys as who's going to play and who's not. Now, Matt, we have gone exceptionally long tonight, so I don't think we're going to have time to get to these listener questions because there's a ton of them. Is there anything particularly you wanted to touch on? I think we covered a lot of them anyway.
Yeah, just keep hold of Stanley Johnson. Don't pick up Swaggy P. We've spoken about Jerian Grant. Mirotić will be the best small forward, closely followed by Giannis and then Batum. Dieng we've spoken about. Streaming and schedule I've spoken a little bit about, but I might tweet Stephen back and we'll go through that a little bit more. Drew Holiday looks like his minutes will increase to 25, so that's encouraging. He needs to be owned in all leagues. Yes, Terrence Jones is cursed by some voodoo Black Cats Halloween spell. McConnell we've spoken about, Porzingis we've spoken about, and the Bucks rotation we've spoken about. So I think that's all clear.
Covered it off. Now, Matt, remind everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at SmanSports. I'll always answer your fantasy basketball questions, so come and say g'day over there.
Don't forget, go on. You can find both Matt and myself on Moneyball as well in some of those tournaments. So go and challenge us there. Add us both as friends, and you can invite us to challenges too. I am Redrock_Bball, and Matt is SmanSports over on Moneyball. Don't forget checking out Basketball Monster, which is obviously a fantastic site with great features for members and projections and tools and trade analyzers and projection pickups and weekly matchup tools and all that sort of great stuff on Basketball Monster. And remember, get your chance to sponsor the podcast by leaving a review on iTunes. Matt, it's been good to speak to you for the first time this regular season.
Thanks, Josh. Good to talk to you too. You're my favorite Australian basketball podcast host.
Thank you, Matt. I do appreciate that. All right, everyone, that's it. We're done. Bit over time on today's podcast. I do apologize. Hopefully, I'm not apologizing. You're getting an extra half hour of free content, so hopefully you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.